Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Number One Baseball's Off the Bat. I'm Jana, and joined tonight by Jeff. Eric is off this week, so you're here with the two of us. How are you feeling about this, Jeff? You think we can hold down the fort?
I'm lost. I'm lost without him.
You do not sound confident. This is a terrible start for this. He's already confused.
We'll get it. We'll get it.
He's thrown off on the hockey schedule, but we'll be all right. We're going to power through here.
We hope the Sharks are playing tonight. That's all I care about.
Yeah, you know, we'll get off the air before then. Lucky for all of you, the Penguins have this pretty well in hand, so I'm going to give you my all tonight. Otherwise, it could have been touch or go. But we do have a pretty action-packed show tonight. We got some nice streaks going, some cool stuff in baseball to talk about. But as always, you can find us all over social media. Number1Baseball.com is the hub. You can find us on Twitter at Number1Baseball with the numeric value 1, on Instagram at OffTheBat, and on Facebook at Number1Baseball. And from there, you can find our personal Twitter accounts as well. We tweet all kinds of nonsense, and we love to talk baseball with you. So if there's something we don't cover or a streak you're looking for us to focus on, find us there. We are more than happy to talk to you about it. But tonight, we've got some decent streaks happening. Nothing too crazy, but we got some good hit streaks, a couple of winning and losing streaks going that are going to make for some good discussion, I think. And then a couple of little odds and ends. And then our historical streak tonight's a good one, but we'll get there soon. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But before we get into the streaks, normally I would try to find, I guess I could, in theory, start making up streaks to force this into the show. But it was just a cool baseball moment. And I just wanted to talk about it because it was really neat. I know you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, Jeff, but for those of you who are living under a rock and somehow not aware, Major League Baseball is playing a 2-game series in Puerto Rico yesterday and today. The second game is going on now with the Indians playing out there with Francisco Lindor just doing great things last night. So as we all know, these were set up before Puerto Rico was ravaged by hurricanes and the nation really just truly devastated and still trying to come back from it. And today the power went out island-wide. They're still able to get the game broadcast. They have some generators that are powering them for the next day or two there. But things are still pretty rough in Puerto Rico, and this was a really awesome bright spot. It was something that was good for the game. Obviously, we get a lot of influx of talent from Puerto Rico. There are some really great things happening for just kids who are coming up in the game. I know my brother went when he was in middle school and played a couple of tournaments in Puerto Rico coming up through the ranks, and it's just a great baseball culture there. So this is something really neat. Both teams, the Twins and the Indians, donated money to help Puerto Rico in these recovery efforts, but last night, hands down the best moment. It's a tie game. Francisco Lindor, who is from Puerto Rico, who grew up right where this stadium is, hits a home run, and everybody in the stadium, everybody in the streets, people watching, you could just feel it was one of those moments where it doesn't matter who you're a fan of or what team you're a fan of or which side you were on here, it was just an awesome human moment. I mean, what do you think about it? I know you as a baseball fan, I know it's not your Yankees, but you are a true and true baseball fan, which is where our friendship formed. But for you seeing this, like, how cool of a moment was that?
I think it was pretty cool, especially knowing what that whole region has gone through in the last, not just recently, but
yeah,
I think, say, 5, 6, 7 years. And I really like that Major League Baseball is doing this. Next year they're going to be in England, and they're going out there to, try. I don't want to say reward, but pay homage to some of these countries that, really farm and foster homegrown talent to end up playing in the major leagues, and then to see that come full circle in fruition and watch Lindor. And I thought his response was just absolutely priceless.
Perfect.
And it was great to watch. I mean, it's something you'd expect in a Disney movie. They might, but I mean, you got to applaud Major League Baseball to have the foresight to know that playing a game in Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, or England, or wherever, it's giving opportunities for the players, but also I think for the fans, because we have such a powerful fan base, and you know, they idolize, and in some of these countries, they're not the most lavish countries in the world. You know, it's just an all around cool moment, and it was really, really fun to watch.
It really was, and what I really liked about this was not only was it special for baseball, but it's something that both the teams were looking at coming into the season. They wanted to make this special. They wanted to make this as big as they could. Like we talked about, Lindor's from Puerto Rico, and obviously the Indians had him in the lineup. He's a great player, but they were still looking, like the Twins were looking at Jose Berrios, wanted to make sure that he was able to pitch in this series, in this two-game set, and they penciled out his starts in spring training, working backwards to make sure he could pitch in Puerto Rico. And even with these snowed out and rained out games, they still were able to tweak the rotation enough that he's pitching today. And I can't imagine, I know Lindor had, when he was interviewed after the game last night, they asked him, you know, was this as good as you had hoped it would be, this feeling? And he said, you know, it was even better. It was more than I could have ever dreamed. And like, that's got to be how it feels growing up, you know, with dreaming of being on a stage like this and not even knowing to dream big enough to be able to come back and play for a major league team in Puerto Rico, because that wasn't something that was even happening. And now here you are. I mean, that's so cool as a fan. Like, it's just so exciting.
It is. I mean, and I think for a lot of these players too, they obviously dream about, you know, getting to the major leagues. They dream about hitting that walk-off home run in Game 7 with a full count and the bases loaded to win the World Series. But for some of these players, and I think we saw it in Lindor's celebration, this was their dream. And to be able to give back to a community. And, you know, they do it from a philanthropic standpoint. They obviously spend a lot of time there, their family's down there, and so forth. But to bring – you can't replace the experience. And it's just – it's truly remarkable when things like this happen. And it's funny how in these kind of moments, these players find a way to shine. And it's just really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome. So that's me on my little soapbox today. But we do have some other streaks going on. For the sake of keeping the integrity of the streaks going, I'm going to go with Francisco Lindor is 1-for-1 in hitting home runs in games played in Puerto Rico coming into tonight. So there you go. There's your streak to tie this all in. But right now, let's take a look.
Very, very, very statistic. The stat there is just mind blowing.
That is
1-for-1.
That is hard hitting analysis right there. let's maybe take a look at some streaks that have a little bit more legs under them. Going into yesterday, the Angels and Red Sox playing each other, big game because both of these teams, the two hottest teams right now, the Angels had come in with a 7-game win streak, Boston coming in with a 4-game win streak after, as we were last show, talking about your Yankees beating up on them. Coming in, playing each other, Ohtani was on the mound last night. He got rocked. That's what it's like to pitch against somebody that's not the Oakland A's. So props to you, buddy. So I'm glad we were able to talk about him last week because all of those streaks were just obliterated. So now Boston is standing tall with our current active win streak at 5 games. They're obviously going to throw first pitch in about an hour here as of this recording. But looking at these two teams, the Red Sox and the Angels, who do you like better out of the two? Who do you think's going farther?
Oh, hands down, the Red Sox. I mean, I still think the Red Sox are going to win the division. They have the pitching. I cannot believe I just said that, but they have the pitching.
You can take a shower after the show, wash it off.
I'm going to therapy sessions. they have the pitching, and you can tell they got the mojo. Where right now the Yankees, it's like, oh my God, Stan's not doing anything. So I think, you know, they've rocketed ahead. They're 14-2, which is one of the better starts. I like the Angels, but not in that division. I mean, Houston is just way too strong, and I don't think they're going to overcome them. But I'd have to say, and I was a little surprised you didn't pick up on this, but, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals have a nice 5-game winning streak going, too. And I still take the Red Sox over the Cardinals any day of the week. But, they're hot right now, and I'm just waiting for them to go in the opposite direction where they lose 10 in a row.
That's not bias at all. But I agree with you. I think the Red Sox, out of these two teams, you know, Cardinals aside, but out of these two teams, I think the Red Sox are the stronger. I just think they're deeper. They've got more pitching, and pitching wins championships. People say defense wins championships, but really it's pitching. It just overall, though, I really like this Angels team. I think they're kind of a scrappy little team that you maybe on paper you're not as excited about as you should be. But I really like this team, and I think they're going to win more games than people expect, but I don't necessarily think they're going as deep into potentially the postseason as this Red Sox team likely will. So
yeah, I view the Angels as a, you know, 500 team. I think they're streaky.
Yeah, I think
people
are
going to start figuring out Ohtani, and I just don't see it coming together.
All right, so I'm a little higher on the Angels. I am from Anaheim, so I guess that's probably why. But I do love a good rally monkey, and I will find a way to work him into one of these shows one of these days because,
dear
believe me,
God,
I'm all in.
Please,
you've been my friend for 10
monkey.
Years.
I know. What's wrong with me?
And every day he regrets it. Now, on the flip side of this, the Kansas City Royals, 8-game skid. Things are not looking great. Are you now early in the season as a fan, say this were your Yankees, but as a fan in general, do you worry when a team goes on a skid like this where things just really are not working? I mean, they're not losing close games. They're losing by a lot.
Yeah. I mean, what worries me, and I think it's a broader question for baseball, is they, you know, there's a question about attendance and tanking, and teams like the Rays are just trading away, or the Marlins really are just trading away everything, and their minor league teams have higher attendance. So what I'm more worried about is not necessarily the team, but what the franchise is going to do. And, you know, the Royals are actually in a really, really good position, and I think it was smart of them. They signed that Moustakas deal, and, you know,
they signed him at the perfect time.
They did. So now they got, you know, a trade base. So, like, I'm going to use the Yankees as an example. They could be really good, but I think they're missing some components. And so if, you know, Drury's injury or whatever's happening, or anybody out there really that needs a third baseman, they can pick up a lot of prospects. So that's really what my concern is with the Royals is we knew they were in rebuilding, but it's almost like they're kind of like, you know what, screw it. We're going to start our single-A team every single day, get the top draft pick, and just see what comes, and maybe in 10 years we're going to be competitive. And that's what is really frustrating in baseball for me is I think teams tank, and I think they tank on purpose, and it's there is not a consequence for it. So that's my concern with the Kansas City Royals, and they're not legit. They're not a good team. They have no pitching. I don't think they have much for hitting. They've let everybody go. I don't see it happening.
You are a Royals hater.
I played on the Royals once. They were my T-ball team, so there's a little bit of love.
See, there you go. So really, you should be a little bit nicer to them. You do have ties, but, I mean, now, if anybody can bounce back from it, we saw the Royals have done this in years past. They had an atrocious April. They were awful. And look where they ended up. Things went pretty well for them. This is not that same team. I'm not saying this team is going to a World Series. I'm not saying that at all. But I don't think they're as bad as maybe you do. Overall, I think that there are some good things. They are very young. They really don't have pitching, and that's a problem. I don't necessarily think that they're making any type of run here, but I think they're a little more respectable. If I'm them, I might not trade Moustakas. I know that's an unpopular opinion, but I would keep him, let him be the face of your team. That's just me.
Well, he's got a one-year deal, doesn't he?
I know. But still, I'd like to keep him
around.
He's
not going to stay there if they
you don't
they
know that.
Legitimately
you don't
go,
know that?
Yeah,
look at Joe Mauer. He's been in Minnesota forever. They're terrible.
Yeah, but it's a little different. He's actually from Minnesota. It's convenient for
Joe
him
Mauer
to drive to the ballpark.
Does have a hit streak going. Not quite enough to make the list here today, but Joe Mauer is doing things. Very quietly being a very productive member of that team, and we all need to be excited about that because that is good stuff. So I'm going to segue right into our hit streaks here now that I'm on my Joe Mauer soapbox. Apparently a big fan of his. I wasn't even aware that I was that big of a fan, but here we go. Like I said, he did not quite make the cut for this list. He's not quite there yet. He's also not playing every day, so his chances not the same. But we do have four guys sitting pretty at a 12-game hit streak. We'll get to your boy Aaron Judge in a minute. But Aaron Judge, Dee Gordon, Marcell Ozuna, and Brian Dozier joined the party today. So we do have a nice mix of names here. Ozuna is our only NL component here. But out of these four, who do you think's got the chance to make this streak go the longest?
Oy, I think it's a toss-up. Aaron Judge, his streak has come to an end.
Should I phrase this as, who do you think other than Aaron Judge?
I'm surprised Aaron Judge is
You're allowed to pick Aaron Judge. It's fine.
Honestly, God, if I'm going to pick anybody, it's going to be Dee Gordon. Because in second probably Ozuna, but I mean I think this streak, if you're gonna stay hot and you're gonna get to 20 games or something, that it's a slap hitter, it's a contact hitter, it's not somebody that lives and dies by the long ball, and I mean Dozier, I mean he's not in the top of the top when it comes to home runs, but I mean he's still good for 25, 30 a year, and I just it's somebody who that's their approach to the plate, and again you need people around you. I see Dee Gordon being that kind of guy. The speed, too, helps a little bit. You can do a drag button or something along those lines.
Yeah. As a former scrappy little softball player, and that was my game, I get it. But I'm with you there. Aaron Judge, obviously, we have seen him in years past do some streaking of a lesser variety, and I'm talking about strikeouts. So he's a little bit more feast or famine for my taste, and that Yankees lineup scares me a little bit. But I think for my money, it's Dee Gordon or Marcell Ozuna, just from where they are in the lineup. Those lineups tend to turn over a little bit more than a team like the Yankees who, you know, is living and dying by that long ball. They're not a small ball club. Not at all.
Yeah,
Brian Dozier,
absolutely.
I love him as a player, but I just don't think he's going to have the kind of opportunities that Ozuna and Dee Gordon are going to have at the plate. In that lineup, if someone gets hot, you really don't have to pitch to him. There's not a ton around him. Not that I'm saying that he's lighting the world on fire, but, you know, if he's going to keep racking up hits, people are going to just start putting him on base. But Ozuna has just really had a nice season so far. Dee Gordon, he's kind of always around. He's always going to be in this conversation for pretty much the rest of the season. He's very consistent. But Ozuna was, you know, better than advertised. This is not what he was expected to do. So as a Cardinals fan, I am pleasantly surprised with it, and I'm more than willing to let that continue as long as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Now that I've probably jinxed all four of these guys, I would not take them for your Beat the Streak picks tomorrow, despite whatever nonsense I might tweet out.
fair.
So saying. But in case you haven't followed along, every morning on Twitter, and I think I might get high tech and really start doing this on Instagram as well, I'm tweeting out Beat the Streak picks. I like to get crazy. I double down every day. Most people don't do that. Same people don't. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's the best strategy for everyone, but I'm giving you two picks every day. They are not the ones that are sitting on the front page of Beat the Streak. These are going to be ones that, you know, took a little bit more thought and effort so that you can, you know, get one up on the rest of the pack. I run about 500 on these right now as the season's going, so pick one of them. You got to figure.
What's your longest streak? Have you done that on ESPN?
Yeah, I want to say it was about 14. Like I said,
oh, wow.
I double down every day because it's more fun that way. So for what it's worth, those are out there. I'm the Ron Rivera of Beat the Streak. I'm a riverboat gambler, so stick with me. You're going to get some good ones. Some maybe not so much. But they're not going to be the run of
the
mill.
Do the opposite of Jonna. Just do the opposite.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, someday Jeff and Eric might throw their two cents in, but for now you're stuck with me. So send all of your hate mail and hate tweets directed at me. I'm more than happy to respond to those. I do have justification for it. But moving on. Consecutive saves. We're looking at Edwin Diaz, still perfect, 8-for-8 this season. We've got some guys out there. I'm looking at you, Wade Davis, who are having some nice save chances, not converting all of them. Jesus Familia finally off this list. So it's Edwin Diaz all alone. How do you feel about this? I know you are not a closer guy, and I was shocked this week when you're like, let's do a pitching stat for our streak. But Edwin Diaz, I think, kind of quietly under the radar, this Seattle team, not as bad as people predicted in the season coming up.
You know, and it's odd to me why people thought they were going to be so bad. I think they have the tools.
Like the shine came off Felix Hernandez and everyone panicked, I think is what happened.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And when King Felix goes down, of course you're going to be a little concerned. But, you know, they have the tools. If they don't have a lot
have
of
a good lineup.
Big name players. What's that?
I said they have a good lineup. Like, it's not a bad team to run out there. I wouldn't be mad about it.
No. Yeah, but they're not superstars. So I mean, if you show up, and I can't believe I'm about to do this, but to paraphrase, you know, the Patriots,
yeah.
If you do your job, I think they can be consistent. And what's impressive about Diaz is, I mean, he's coming in, and he doesn't have a whole lot of wiggle room. And so he's coming in, he's shutting down. I think he can keep it going. You know, he's not known to have the best command in the world, so that's going to be a concern, but... you know, a team like the Mariners, he's keeping them going. And so as long as they can ride this, I mean, I'm all about it.
Yeah, why not? So there's our Mariners plug for the day. People say there's an East Coast bias in baseball. Not on this show. No, we are equal opportunity here.
North, South, yeah. East, West will cover it all.
We will. a couple of odds and ends from the week, just weird stuff that's been happening streak-wise. And then we'll get into Oral Hershiser here. That's some good stuff there. George Springer finally hit a home run off someone not named Cole Hamels yesterday. His first three home runs of the season all came off Cole Hamels. So obviously, if you see him pop up on your Beat the Streak and Cole Hamels is pitching, you take him. You don't think twice about it.
Why is Cole Hamels still in the league? Can we talk about that for a second? Why is Cole Hamels still around?
Well, he's got a pretty wife that was on Survivor.
Okay, there's that. There we go. Congratulations. Here's a Major League Baseball contract.
I'm just saying. He's a pretty nice dude.
I don't mean to digress. But, I mean, the guy's a dreadful pitcher. He hasn't been good since, like, 2004.
He's not dreadful. You know who is dreadful? I'm going to segue here. Chris Tillman. And real sorry, but this dude, I would take Cole Hamels 100 times over Chris Tillman right now because this is a sad streak. We got another sad streak coming. But Chris Tillman is the longest active streak going right now for starting pitchers between wins. 21 games since his last win. That's a season. He's essentially pitched a season between wins. That's not great. He's pitching tomorrow at Detroit. Not the best-looking matchup in the world for him, but we're keeping our fingers crossed for Chris Tillman. Unfortunately, it looks like he may not have a starting job all that much longer, although the Orioles don't have too much else waiting in the wings. But I would like to hear what you guys think about Cole Hamels, because I'm firmly of the belief, like, I would put Cole Hamels on a team. I'd take him on the Cardinals. Jeff, not so much. So tell us whose side you're on, because I'm interested to hear about this. Maybe it's because I lived for a while in the Philadelphia area. Cole Hamels is very well regarded there, as you may know. But I don't know. Cole Hamels, man. This is the strangest thing.
Nope,
he made a big statement here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to look at his stats right now. Like, when was the last time he's actually decent? I mean, it would be
a long time ago. He's not. That is not true. All right, we are going to revisit this. We are going.
Legit. He had 15 wins in 2016. I'll give him that. Before that, 7-1, 6-7, 9-9, 8-14.
As a Yankee fan, you need to take a good hard look at your rotation before you start throwing stones at others.
Oh, legit. Tanaka, what are we doing? Yeah, I'm with you. I get that. Fair point. Fair job.
I'm just saying. This Cole Hamels discussion is not over. But another sort of sad streak that was finally came to an end today. The Mets were perfectly awful at letting people steal bases on them. They were a perfect 20-for-20 at giving up stolen bases this season. And then Steven Matz came to the rescue tonight in the first inning against the Nationals, finally picked a guy off trying to steal second base. So props to you, New York Mets. You are finally looking like a functional baseball team, sort of.
They're 12-4. Like, I mean, functional baseball team, I mean, maybe
have
letting people steal is a good thing.
Have you seen them try to throw a runner out on the base path? Have you seen it even one time? It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I get that.
Like a little league team throwing the ball around the infield. Not great. So, welcome to the show, guys. You're able to pick a runner off. I'm proud of you. All right, let's take a look at something a little more fan-friendly, and that is the Major League record, and we're going a little historical here on you guys, for consecutive scoreless innings pitched, depending if you're looking at regular season or regular and postseason. There's one name at the top of this list, and that is Orel Hershiser. We're a little over 25 years since this happened, but the legend of this, essentially, is, to me, extremely interesting. So he sits atop the list with 59 consecutive innings in the regular season. He then went into the postseason and threw a few more. So you would essentially extend his streak, if you're going to factor those in, to 67 innings pitched without giving up a run. Just that, his numbers that season and that postseason, just out of this world. Then coming into the 1989 season, he did give up a run in the first inning of his season debut. So streak did end there in the 88 season. But for what it's worth, he surpassed Don Drysdale, also the Dodgers, and we'll see another Dodger name on this list here in a little while, who had for 55 years held the streak at 58 innings pitched. And, geez Louise. The way Orel Hershiser broke this in the regular season, in a game that went extra innings, the last game of the season that he was pitching, he went out for the 10th inning. He pitched a 10th inning in a game that went 16 innings. Didn't even get a complete game after pitching 10 innings. And he didn't want to go out. He didn't want to go out for that last 10th inning. And Tommy sort of kind of threw him out there. I was like, go get out there, break that record. And he did. He said, and I quote, "You get your ass out there and break the record." That's what I want in a manager. I love Tommy Lasorda.
Just get right to the chase.
Just get out there and break the record. I love that. there you go. So when you look at it, his stats during that streak, 59 innings pitched, 0 runs, 31 hits, 38 strikeouts, 10 walks, only 3 extra base hits, and he threw 700 pitches. In that year, in that season, if you combine his regular season and postseason workload, he threw 309 and two-third innings in 1988. No one has matched that since. No one's come close to that since. And Orel Hershiser, it's not like that was it. It wasn't like he ran out of gas. He took them into that postseason. Even that next year, his numbers, it's not like he fell off a cliff. Like, we baby pitchers so much now that that's unfathomable. To me, this is an incredible record. Do you think it can ever be touched?
No. The only way it could ever be touched is, in a game of Saber Matrix, is if you got somebody like, Mariano Rivera, somebody with a nasty pitch, or has a bunch of pitches, and you are going to pick and choose who you allow them to pitch to. So, like, okay, I'm going to throw you out for one or two batters, and these are the only two batters you're going to face because statistically you should be able to get these guys out with whatever pitch or whatever speed that you want to do. That's the only way it's going to happen. To have a starting pitcher go as long as he did, and it's absolutely remarkable. And it's just in this, the way the game is played today, never, ever going to happen, ever.
Wow. It's hard to say. We've had guys come close. Zach Greinke in 2015 had that incredible summer. He went 45 and two-thirds innings pitched. And, the year prior to that, we had Clayton Kershaw went 41 innings. A lot of Dodgers on this list. I'm surprised there are not, some Braves floating around here. But I think you're right. Like, I want to say I think this streak can be broken, but I just – that Zach Greinke, the monumental effort it took him – to get to where he got, and that was still, 15 innings shy of the record. That next year, and I think it was the next year, he was on the DL for anxiety. He really, it was tough on him. That wore on him. But
it's just, it's a flip side, too. The batters you know, or the managers, you know, sending up batters. I mean, they're looking for opportunities, and they have all the same stats.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm really strong against lefties and I'm striking you out higher than I do righties, and if righties have a higher contact rate, I'm going to front load the lineup with righties. That didn't exist in '88. So, I mean, that mentality. So, I don't see it possible.
And I think what's incredible about this streak is not only did Hershiser do this on his own, but he almost elevated the team here. Like, he was so good that season even before this streak started. I mean, he had a phenomenal year. But their closer had 18 consecutive scoreless innings. He only allowed 3 hits and didn't even allow a hit at all in the month of September, Jay Howell. Their relief pitchers all really shut it down, and he was like the leader of that pitching staff. I'm a huge baseball stat nerd, as all of you know. And I've read a lot into this. It's something that just, these kind of things fascinate me. I love seeing the box scores and the breakdowns and how this all goes. But I mean, there were so many high pressure situations that he got in during this streak and was able to get himself out of guys, bases loaded, guys on third, murderer's row lineups coming against him. I mean, he faced some phenomenal hitters, some really good teams, some hot teams in this, and still managed to not give up a run. It's just incredible. And I know we're running a little bit over, but just for what it's worth, in 2013, they looked at all of the games played, all of the stats, everything that went into it. Teams scored in about 26.4% of the innings, which means a league average pitcher has approximately a 1 in 71 million chance of throwing 59 consecutive scoreless innings. Just the numbers are outrageous against the fact that someone could try to do it in this day and age, and it's just getting even harder. Players getting better, videos getting better, the sabermetrics, the stats, all these things going into it are becoming more advanced, and I think you're right. There's just no way that it can be done. But that season, if you ever have a chance, if you ever got some downtime or you just want to shirk some responsibilities for a while, go read into this. Go look at the articles and the box scores from these games. And it's incredible. I mean, just
there you have it. So
what he did.
We are encouraging everybody to procrastinate at work and look this stuff up.
Yep.
But, I mean, here's a question
for
you.
Some of my bosses listen to this show, so props to you guys. You already know what I did.
No. I'm just kidding. Totally threw you under the bus.
But
well, who, legit,
they,
who do you
they
think?
They already know I'm a nerd.
yeah. But legit, who do you think? What's more likely? This streak is going to be broken, or the DiMaggio 56 streak that we talked about a couple weeks ago?
Oh, I would take this. I would take the consecutive scoreless innings pitch streak to fall before DiMaggio's would.
I hate that I agree with you, but I agree with you. Absolutely.
You just hate agreeing with me, period, as a human being.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I just think that, you know, there's a it would take some time. I think it's more likely that it could be a relief pitcher than it would necessarily be a starter. It may take a little while, but I think this has a better chance of being done than just that streak that DiMaggio had. Just unreal. So that would be my vote. And apparently it's also your very reluctant vote as well.
It is. But I'm also, you know, I'm all about, you know, Yankee nostalgia, so.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. We'll be back next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. going streaking once again. We'll be back as a three-man rotation again next week. But in the meantime, you can find us all over social media. Like I said, number1baseball.com is your hub. You can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Come find us. Tell us what streak you want to hear us talk about next week. I've already got one in mind, but I am open to suggestions. We'll see what other kind of weird streaks pop up. Whose hit streak maybe is still going. Maybe your boy Aaron Judge is still going strong when we get to next week. And like I said, just stick with us. If you've missed any episodes, definitely go back and find them in the archive. You can find them on the website or on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.